Blog Talk Radio. I want to read for you today a few pages out of the book Testimonies to Ministers and Gospel Workers. I'm reading from pages 506 through 512. The section is called Pray for the Latter Rain by Mrs. White. This passage was originally published in the Review and Herald on March 2nd, 1897. You can download it from the internet. It's right there on page 1 and 2. And I found it very interesting and revealing because there were things in this article that I've never heard before. We've all heard about the early rain or former rain was outpoured upon the disciples at the day of Pentecost. And we've heard that the latter rain will be poured out upon us just before Jesus comes. But there are things in this article that I have never heard before. And I wonder if you have. So the best way to get this across to people, because this does apply to us right now, is I thought I would just go ahead and read this for you. Pray for the latter rain. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. In the east, the former rain falls at the sowing time. It is necessary in order that the seed may germinate. Under the influence of the fertilizing showers, the tender shoot springs up. The latter rain, falling near the close of the season, ripens the grain and prepares it for the sickle. The Lord employs these operations of nature to represent the work of the Holy Spirit. As the dew and the rain are given first to cause the seed to germinate and then to ripen the harvest, so the Holy Spirit is given to carry forward from one stage to another the process of spiritual growth. The ripening of the grain represents the completion of work of God's grace in the soul. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the moral image of God is to be perfected in the character. We are to be wholly transformed into the likeness of Christ. The latter rain, ripening the earth's harvest, represents the spiritual grace that prepares the church for the coming of the Son of Man. But unless the former rain has fallen, there will be no life. The green blade will not have sprung up. Unless the early showers have done their work, the latter rain can bring no seed to perfection. There is to be first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. There must be a constant development of Christian virtue, a constant advancement in Christian experience. This we should seek with intensity of desire, that we may adorn the doctrine of Christ our Savior. Many have, in a great measure, failed to receive the former rain. They have not obtained all the benefits that God has thus provided for them. They expect that the lack will be supplied by the latter rain. When the richest abundance of grace shall be bestowed, they intend to open their hearts to receive it. They are making a terrible mistake. The work that God has begun in the human heart in giving His light and knowledge must be continually going forward. Every individual must realize his own necessity. The heart must be emptied of every defilement and cleansed for the indwelling of the Spirit. It was by the confession and forsaking of sin, by earnest prayer and consecration of themselves to God, that the early disciples prepared for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The same work, only in a greater degree, must be done now. Then the human agent had only to ask for the blessing and wait for the Lord to perfect the work concerning him. It is God who began the work, and He will finish His work, making man complete in Jesus Christ. but there must be no neglect of the grace represented by the former rain. Only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. Unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It may be falling on hearts all around us, but we shall not discern or receive it. At no point in our experience can we dispense with the assistance of that which enables us to make the first start. The blessings received under the former rain are needful to us to the end, yet these alone will not suffice. While we cherish the blessing of the early rain, we must not, on the other hand, lose sight of the fact that without the latter rain to fill out the ears and ripen the grain, the harvest will not be ready for the sickle, and the labor of the sower will have been in vain. Divine grace is needed at the beginning, divine grace at every step of the advance, and divine grace alone can complete the work. There is no place for us to rest in a careless attitude. We must never forget the warnings of Christ. Watch unto prayer, watch and pray always. A connection with the divine agency every moment is essential to our progress. We may have had a measure of the Spirit of God, but by prayer and faith, we are continually to ask more of the Spirit. It will never do to cease our efforts. If we do not progress, if we do not place ourselves in an attitude to receive both the former and the latter rain, we shall lose our souls, and the responsibility will lie at our own door. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the latter rain. Do not rest satisfied that in the ordinary course of the season rain will fall. Ask for it. The growth and perfection of the seed rests not with the husbandman. God alone can ripen the harvest, but man's cooperation is required. God's work for us demands the action of our mind, the exercise of our faith. We must seek His favors with the whole heart if the showers of grace are to come to us. We should improve every opportunity of placing ourselves in the channel of blessing. Christ has said, "Where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I in the midst." The convocations of the church, as in camp meetings, the assemblies of the home church, and all occasions where there is personal labor for souls are God's appointed opportunities for giving the early and the latter rain. But let none think that in attending these gatherings, their duty is done. A mere attendance upon all the meetings that are held will not in itself bring a blessing to the soul. It is not an immutable law that all who attend general gatherings or local meetings shall receive large supplies from heaven. The circumstances may seem to be favorable for a rich outpouring of the showers of grace, but God Himself must command the rain to fall. Therefore, we should not be remiss in supplication. We are not to trust to the ordinary working of providence. We must pray that God will unseal the fountain of the water of life, and we must ourselves receive of the living water. Let us, with contrite hearts, pray most earnestly that now, in the time of the latter rain, the showers of grace may fall upon us. At every meeting we attend, our prayers should ascend that at this very time, God will impart warmth and moisture to our souls.
Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell. She will be your host tonight. Let us offer a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your mercies towards us. as we have listened a while ago about the lot and the farmer rain. Father, you told us that we must ask for the latter rain, and we must pray, Father, for it, Lord, so that when we receive it, that we will be able to go and share your message to others and to represent you in everything we do. So we ask you tonight, dear Lord, as you said, we are two or three gather. It is getting a little late, Lord. Our sisters and our brother have not joined us. But you said we are two or three gathered together doing the things concerning your will. You are in the midst. So, Lord, as we join here today, I'm asking you, Father, to pour your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us so that we can share and to give you thanks for all the things that you have done for us, Lord. Thank you for hearing and thank you for answering our prayer. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, this is Sister Powell. Welcome to Advent Online Prayer Line. And we know that tonight is Sunday night, dear brothers and sisters. And we are asking our brothers and sisters to join and also to share. God is good. He is so great. He is worthy to be praised. We have to be thankful to him for what he has done. As we have listened to the reading a while ago about the latter rain, brothers and sisters, God wants to pour the Holy Spirit upon his children. And he is asking us, Lord, to contend with him so that he can pour the Holy Spirit upon us, just like the day of Pentecost, so that we will able to go and to present this gospel message that he has given unto us, Lord, for the world. We know that we are living in the last days, brothers and sisters. Perilous times is ahead of us. So because we know he lives, right, we can face tomorrow. We know that he is there. Men may say that he is not alive, but we know that he lives. So I'm going to sing this little song, and after singing, we read that scripture, and then my brothers and sisters who is on the line, you know, we ask you, while it is early, make it while the sun shine, and let you press one that you can share. We will sing this song 251, our opening song. He lives. I serve a risen Savior, right? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hands of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always there. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within our hearts. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though the world grow weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus. Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within our hearts. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, we know he lives. And he lives within our heart, right? God is so good that he is living within us, in our heart. And we know that he wants us to be obedient to him. And he wants us to follow his will, his command, his statute. So we are asking the Lord tonight to pour his Holy Spirit upon each one of us, because we know he lives, that we can share the testimony and to give him the praise that is due to our Heavenly Father. We know that he came. We know he died for us. And he wants each of us at this time to repent, right? We repent from all our sins so that he will be able to work within us. And as this morning we were studying, brothers, it's about repentance. And there were some questions asked here, just a few questions. And we found that in Acts 2:37, 38, and also Acts 3:19, because we all remember the story when the apostles, the disciples were on one accord, their mind was with God, they had no sin, the Lord poured out his Holy Spirit upon them, and they was able to prophesy, to preach, and to share the gospel message all over the world. And the Lord is expecting us, his children, that he will pour out the Holy Spirit, as we have been hearing about the latter rain and the former rain. We may be saying it's rain going to come down from above, but we know it will be coming out from above, but it's the Holy Spirit the Lord wants to pour out upon his children, and he just wants us to be obedient. He said, how shall a man be just with God? And how shall the sinner made righteous? It is only through Christ. Through Christ who can wash away all our sins. No man can wash away all our sins, all our burdens, all our cares. And if we put it to present it to him, he is able to do all things. So I'm going to start opening the line, brothers and sisters. And, you know, I want everyone to share. And at 9 o'clock, we notice now that the line is cutting off. So we asking our brothers and sisters, when they share, right, you know, just share that we can have everyone who came on the line, that they will be willing to share, you know, so we have to maybe cut a little more time off, and that we do our testimony and our praise a little brief, so that others can join, because we notice at 9 o'clock, pom pom, they're cutting us off. God bless and thank you for your cooperation. 985-232, your line is open. Can you tell where you call your name and where you're calling from?
Amen. Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Hummel, Louisiana. Just want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up this morning. And thank him for another day. I was glad when I woke up and the Lord was in the presence today. I want to read a prayer. Glad my grandkids are with me at his day uncle today. Now I got a piece of quiet. Okay. God. I am grateful for your mercy and your comfort that keeps me going in times of great trial and tribulation. I know that your comfort won't just minister to me, but to everyone else I come into contact with who may be experiencing a situation have overcome. I thank you, Lord, that in such times I will be able to reach out to them and minister efficiently. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. What a thing to serve. Amen. He gave me the prayer so that he can reach out and preach to me. And he wanted in return so I can reach out and preach to minister to others. So what a God we serve. Don't do no wrong. Everybody blame, but they just don't know. It's not God. They have it all wrong. If I can stand up and tell the world, I could tell them who it is. It comes through either disobedience and the devil, which is through disobedience in ourselves and just Satan itself. Because God don't do that. If he wanted to do any wrong, he wouldn't have given his only begotten son. When I hear people ask why God do this and why God do that, I just be one of child. I wish I can just answer through the telegram, through the phone, do anything. It's not God. It's not God. I had to learn for myself when I was coming up disobedience that what happened through my life and the sickness fell upon me and all the other affliction that how I was. My mom prayer line, baby. And I had to learn. And I know right now through the times I go through why. And all I can do is lay down. All I can do is lay down and repent and ask God for forgiveness and just, you know, take whatever go my way, all the pain, suffering, and pray on it and repent. Because I know, I didn't know at the time, but I know one thing, I didn't know anything about the Bible. He's not punishing me, but in a way, I'm getting some of it back because it's through Satan. But anyway, it's also part of me when I grew up and knew I did just things I shouldn't have did. So in any way, I knew it's all Satan, but I have to give my father my repentance and pray and let him know that I'm sincere so when I make it to judgment day, he's going to decide what part of the heart he likes and what part of the, you know, that he's going to accept. Amen. So thank God. Amen. So everybody, this is what I been wanting to get out, and now I had a chance to tell everybody what I mean. So God bless you, everyone. Amen. Here, Brother John. I just ask for prayers for each and every one, and that I may continue growing strong in faith. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to say hello. This is Brother John from Louisiana, and I just want to thank God too for everything that He does for us, and I just want to just say that I'm really happy for the blessings, and a lot of people ask me, how am I doing now? I used to say, I'm okay back then, but now they ask me, how am I doing? I said, I feel blessed. And they say, I am blessed. I said, oh, that's wonderful. So I put it that away now and ask me how I'm doing. And I just really, I know I cherish every day. Once I wake up in the morning, I thank God for another day because I realize that the past is over and gone, and I realize that the future hasn't come yet. So right now, every day is what we have, you know, and the present is what we have. And also I'm realizing that they call it the present because it's a gift from God, you know. So that's why I really cherish the present, the very moment right now, because the present is a gift from God. So I won't hold on too much longer, but I just want to say I'm thankful, and God bless.
Amen. Praise God. God is so good. God is great. Brothers and sisters, you listen to the question from our dear sister. She was actually presenting a sermon, brothers and sisters. And as we were reading repentance, you see, how shall a man be just with God? And how shall the sinner be made righteous? It is only through Christ that he can be brought into harmony with God, with holiness. But how are we to come to Christ? Many are asking the same question as did the multitude of the day of Pentecost. When conviction of sin, they cry out, what shall we do? The first word that Peter answered and said, repent, in Acts 2:26. At another time, shortly after, he said, repent and be converted. We have listened to Brother John. We have listened to Sister Brenda, you know, sharing what God has done for them. As she woke up, she gave God the praise for what he has done. And she has been grateful to know that God is by her side. And also, the things that happened in her past, she did not know better. And she said she had to pay the consequences. But now she knew what, as the Lord said, she is a new creature. All things have passed away, and all things become new. That is a praise report, my dear brothers and sisters. And Brother John is moving on, praising God. They are for the blessings that he had blesses him. And not talking about the past, he's talking about the future, because he knows that the present is a gift from God. So, brothers and sisters, when I listen to these wonderful praise reports and how to look and saw how my brothers and sisters are growing in Christ, I just want to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you to behold Brother John and to hold Brother Sister Brenda in their palms of his arms, embrace them in the word so that they can go out. Because you hear what Sister Brenda said? She wants to go out to share the gospel message, right? She wants to go out to tell others what he has done for me, for her. So I'm so grateful and thankful to know that Sister Brenda and Brother John is a living testimony on this line that they can say, God, I've done something great in their life. And as we said, repentant, brother, the power of Peter said, repent, repent, and be converted. So when we are converted, brothers and sisters, you hear what came out of us and that Sister Brenda speak, obedience. You know, we repent and be converted. We become Christ's representative to be obedient to his will, his command, and to follow his example and to have his character so that we can go and share with others. So Sister Brenda and Brother John, thank you all for sharing. And thank my brothers and sisters who are here. I am asking you to press number one to share. I'm going to open this line. Share, brothers and sisters, because we want that when the speaker come on, you know, give a little time and everybody get the opportunity. 272-770, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Yes. Hello, everyone, all of my beautiful brothers and sisters. This is Tymiko, and I'm calling from Pennsylvania. God bless you all. It's a pleasure to be on the line. Hello, my dear Sister Powell. So nice to hear your voice.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I would like to sing a song for all of my dear brothers and sisters on the line.
Amen.
And, amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. To God be the glory. That's on page 341.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. The Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the vilest offender of truly belief. That moment from Jesus the pardon received. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Amen.
Amen.
God is so good.
May I read a little verse in the Bible, if it's okay?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to read Psalms 91, 1 through 16. Yes. Thank you, Father, for another blessed and beautiful day, dear Lord. Please give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Father, as I read your word, dear Lord. And please let the Holy Spirit be my guide and my teacher. I thank you for everything you do for each and every one of us on this prayer line. Continue to be with us. In the precious and mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. And Sister Tamiko, if you could just read off now and maybe later you do another part of it, right, that I can give the opportunity to others.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the pestilence. And he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler, and you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you,
nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you all, my brothers and sisters. Have a blessed evening. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Tamika. Thank you for sharing, right, and also reading Psalm 91. For he shall give his angel charge over you to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So you see, the Lord is there for us. The Lord loves us, and he is going to say, he says, I'll not let any plague come near thy dwelling. Thank God for his word, my sister. God is good, all right? 225-337, your line is open. You tell your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I just want to give my Father thanks and praise to his name. I want to read repentance as I heard my sister, my brother-in-law, talking about how good, how the Lord has blessed him. And truly, my sisters and brothers, the Lord is so good to us. You know, as so many people we know is gone, and yet we are here today to be on this prayer line one more day. And I've just been giving God thanks and praise to his name because he has blessed me. He blessed us on this prayer line to see another day. And so as I heard Sister Brenda and Brother John giving repentance and Sister Tamika singing the song, you know, we just hear, and Sister Power hosting, I've just been on here long enough to hear that, but I know others is giving him the praise. So I just want to read Steps to Christ, repentance, and how that affects all of our lives. And I'm telling you, it really affected me because I know if I had not repented and come to Christ and do what he said, you know, I could be lying on a bed sick or whatever. But praise God, I'm beginning to walk better. I'm beginning to do better in my health. So I just want to give him thanks by reading repentance. And it says,
Sister Leola, you know, we just ask a short. You can read one part and then you do another. Just a short because we need everyone to cooperate.
Okay, and I'm just going to read this short part. It says, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me, John 12:32. Christ must be revealed to sinners as the Savior dying for the sins of the world. And as we behold the Lamb of God up on the cross of Calvary, the mystery of redemption began to unfold to our mind. And the goodness of God lead us to repentance. And dying for sinners, Christ manifests a love that is incomprehensible. And as the sinner behold this love, it softens the heart, impresses the mind, and inspires the contrition and the soul. So I just want to thank the Lord for his love that he softens the heart and bring us to Christ and to love him. So thank you, Sister Power. I just wanted to share that and to say that. So thank you, and may God bless and keep me in prayer, my
Amen.
Son Jarvis. Amen. And Sister Power,
Amen.
Brother Akeem will be coming on at 7:15. Amen.
Oh, okay. Very good. Okay. All right. Thank you, Sister Leola, for coming in and share and the joy in your heart when you heard about your sister and brother-in-law repentance, what God have done for them. And we can say that they are enjoying the goodness of God and also praising God. And as you have read in John 1:12, that Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto me, right? Christ must be revealed to the sinners as the Savior, dying for our sins in this world. So we have a loving Father, you know, who died for our sins. So we just want to thank God for these encouraging promises that we have. And Sister Leola, if after we have a little time and you want to continue to read a little more of it, you know, that was our topic tonight, repentance. God is good. And God wants us to present true repentance to him. Thank you for sharing and also joining. And brothers and sisters, we are going to open the line. We're asking all brothers and sisters to be brief. We have to cut as at 9 o'clock. They disturb and cut us. So we want to give everybody the opportunity that they can talk. So we are asking our brothers and sisters to be a little brief. We know with both testimony, praise, and song, so that everyone can, you know, get to share. All right. 518-650, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from? Welcome to Advent Light Sunday night.
Good prayer. Evening. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling Albany in New York. I serve
Amen.
A risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hands of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always there. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along that narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart.
Man.
In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart was weary and ever will despair, I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along that narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord for his good. Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to give you thanks, and I just want to give you praise. Because I know you live within my heart, oh God, and I'm praising you. I'm giving you thanks for your goodness and your mercy. Because your mercy endureth forever. I just want to praise you, and I just want to honor you. I just want to adore you. I just want to magnify and give you thanks, Lord. I put each and every one on this prayer line into your hand, oh God. I'm asking you to be with us in a special way, Lord. Take away unrighteousness and take away sin. Anoint us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. create in us clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Lord, we are unworthy, we are unholy, we are undone, we are nothing good, but, O God, because of your grace, because of your mercy, because you died on that cross for us, we can be here this evening. So thank you, Jesus, for your keeping here, for your tender mercy, for your love, for your grace. Lord, be with each and every one of us along with our families, O God. We're asking you to take full control. Heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. Open shelter for the homeless, Lord. Lord, we need you more than anything else. We are asking you to be with every mother, every father, every child, all over the world in diverse places, O God. Put them before you. Set a watch around them and bless them, O God. Lord, be with all the leaders. I put all the leaders all over the world into your hand. I'm asking you to bless them and help them to draw closer to you, O God, so that you can give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to preach your, thus set the Lord, your people, so that they may win souls for your kingdom. Lord, I honor and adore you, I magnify, I praise you, I lift you up, and I give you thanks. Have your way, Lord. Take full control, Lord. And when all is said and done, Lord, never leave us, never forsake us. Hear our prayer. Open the school, O God. Provide teachers for the school and provide funds to run the school, dear God. Be with the store. I put the store into your hand, dear Father. I'm asking you to take full control, to lead your people so that they may have good time and have good energy, O God, and get the right food, the right to keep their body strong and going. Lord Jesus, continue to take full control of us and take full control of this line and let your will be done. And whatever is done on this line, let everything be done according to your will, I pray. And I give you thanks in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Thank you, my dear Sister Barnaby, for that song along. I serve a risen Savior. We start out with that song. Yes, we serve a risen Savior. And we know that he is in the world today. And especially we know he lives in each one of us heart. So we have our Savior living. Thank you for reminding us, my dear sister. And also to give God praise for all the things that he has done. And that your prayer reach up to him, praying on behalf of each and every brothers and sister, especially on the line and also our loved ones. So I just want to thank you for sharing. Brothers and sister, God is good. He said, when we come together in prayer, when we come together in song, the enemy will not find any loophole where he can come to abide in our heart. Because we know that God lives, and he lives right in our heart. Yes, brothers and sisters, I'm going to open the line. I'm asking my brothers and sisters, please be brief on this, on the line, so that we can share and others can share. Our brother Akin James will be our speaker tonight. So we would like, when he comes on, that he has the right time to present the message. And we find out now, brothers and sisters, on the line that as it comes to near 8:45, you know, we may be in a talking or sharing and the phone and the line just cut off like that. So we just want you guys to know it's not we cutting the line like that. It's the purple Black Talk Radio. They are the one who cutting. We don't know what. Maybe we are censored, right? Maybe we don't know. But we find out that they are cutting the line very, very often now. So it is no fault of us, brother, but we apologize for it. And we just share to let our brothers and sisters know that we only have a certain time on the line. And I think when you go over on that, you know, they're doing all quality things to get us disturbed. But we know that the enemy would like this lion to crash, but God is in control. So let us continue to pray for the lion. So So we're asking all brothers and sisters to be brief. 857-505, your line is open. Can you tell your name?
Hello, sister. Hello, Sister Power. Hello, my brothers and sisters, Advent Light Ministry. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts, Sister Power. God is good, Sister Power. He's worthy. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Power. I have a prayer request, Sister Power. I like to thank God because God is good. Before I sing a song, Sister Power, I want to bring my prayer request and encourage my brothers and sisters on the Advent Light Ministry. My prayer request tonight, my brothers and sisters, is to pray for my mother. Lift up my mother in prayer because my mom needs a lot of prayer. Don't forget to lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Power. Don't forget to pray for Brother Anthony, starting in A. Brother Anthony, starting in A. Lift up Brother Anthony in prayer. Don't forget to pray for Brother Jahari, Brother Jamal, Brother Javel. Lift them up in prayer. And please lift up Sister Ebony in prayer. Pray for Sister Katiana in prayer, Sister Power. And Sister Power, I hope this line, this radio line do not cut in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I hope this prayer line do not cut in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I hope this line does not cut in the name of Jesus. Because Sister Power, the enemy will lose the battle. The enemy will lose the battle. In the name of Jesus, God will break everything. God will stop the enemy. God will stop the enemy at this moment, Sister Power. My brothers and sisters, have faith in the Lord because God is able. God is a mighty God. God is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And Sister Power, I'm praying for Brother Taiwan, that Brother Taiwan will feel much better, and Brother Taiwan will go home in the name of Jesus. And Brother Taiwan will say to his mother, I am feeling much better in the name of Jesus. I am feeling much better in the name of Jesus. God will break everything for Brother Taiwan. God will break everything for Brother Taiwan. God will break everything for Brother Tony. God will break everything for everyone. Brother Taiwan needs to stay in prayer, Sister Power, because Sister Power, when I sing this song, every praise, Brother Taiwan will stand up. God will make Brother Taiwan stand up. God will deliver him, Sister Power. God will deliver Brother Taiwan, and God
Amen.
Will deliver him.
Amen.
Sister Power, his mother has to be happy. His
Amen.
Mother has to be happy. His mother needs to have faith in
Amen.
The Lord because God is able. God is merciful. He's worthy to be praised. Let me sing a song, Sister Power. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God, my Savior. God, my healer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Sister Power, let's sing every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Brother Taiwan's mother, have faith in the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, God is good. God is
Amen.
Merciful. He's worthy
Amen.
To be praised, my
Amen.
Sister.
Amen.
Have faith in the Lord because God is good.
Amen.
My sister, keep your faith in God.
Amen.
God is good,
Amen.
My dear sister. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for those encouraging words. Every praise to the Lord above, right? We have to give him the praise, right? And thank you for encouraging those encouraging words and also your prayer requests for everyone, Taiwan and Tony. And I know you're praying for the whole of our brothers and sisters, Jahari, and Miss Pasco, Anthony, and Jovel, Lord, your mother, yourself, and Anthony, and Sister Bassiana. Lord, you know, Sister Danielle and Pasco,
We know, dear God is able to do all things. I want to thank you. I'm going to open the line for prayer now, brothers and sisters, and I'm asking you at this time, right? We're going into prayer because we are really want that when the time comes, we pray. We have our great prayer request here, brothers and sisters. So we are asking you all, right, to remember these names. And not only today, I'm asking you to remember these names. I am asking you all to remember these names, brothers and sisters, on your prayer list, right? So we can lift up these brothers and our sisters in our daily prayer by praying for them so that God will give them the strength to overcome all the things. So I'm going to open the line asking sister. Oh, sister, our dear sister Leola, 225, you are in a position that you can lead us in prayer. You heard the request is 225-337. Are you in a position that you can pray? 225-337, your line is open. Are you in a position that you can lead us in prayer? Okay, all right. No? All right. Okay, brothers and sisters, we are going how to go down in a word of prayer, right? So we ask you if you could bow your head so that we can go into prayer on behalf of these prayer, right? I'm going to sing a verse of this. Take the world, but give me Jesus, all its joy, but a name. But his love abided ever through eternal, here's the same. Oh, the heights and depths of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Oh, most righteous and eternal Father, your children come before you this moment, sinful as we. We come to confess all our sins to you, Lord. Sins in sin, in our thoughts, sins that we did not remember, Lord. Father, sin that is unspoken, we present them to you. And we are asking you, Lord, as our desire is to leave them at the foot of the cross. We are asking you, Father, to pour your blessings upon us. As we ask you, confess our sin, you said you are faithful and just to forgive us. And you told us, dear Lord, when you forgave us, that we will be a new creature. All things are past, and behold, all things become new. You said, though our sins is like scarlet, you can make it white as snow. You said, if we content with you, you will contend with us. So we come as brothers, we come as sisters, Lord, to tell you how much we appreciate your love. And to look at the cross, Lord, a glimpse of the cross, that you send your only son in this world to die, to save us from sin, and to give us salvation, and to allow us that we will have it more abundantly. So we just want to give you thanks. We want to thank you for your brothers and your sister, Lord, as we lift up Advent Light to you. We thank you for the opportunity that we can come in this form. We thank you for your love and your mercies that you have kept us this form. We want to thank you for your words, Lord, the prophecy, the scriptures, the promises, Lord, of the time that we are living in, Lord. And that you want to cover us and shower us with the latter and the former rain.
We thank you, dear Lord, that the latter rain and the former rain will be the Holy Spirit poured down upon your children. As you said in Revelation 18, you said that mighty angel come down from heaven with great power to lighten the world with his glory. Father, that glory, dear Lord, you want us to represent it, dear Father, to the world as the ambassador, as your representative, as your servant, that we can go out and share your gospel message so that others will know that you are the God and the only God who can forgive sin and to take us out of sin and bondage and to shower us with your love, that you will cover us with your robe of righteousness by faith in Christ. So, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the hope of salvation. We want to thank you for the promises that you have given unto us, Lord, and to listen to your servants, them who came on this line, to testify in songs, to testify in the scripture, reading the scripture, and to testify with the praise, Lord, and praying, interceding, Lord, to you in the most holy sanctuary on behalf of our brothers and sisters. Know you are the only true God who said we must lift up our prayer to you in the most holy sanctuary. And we acknowledge where you are in death, and we acknowledge the work that you have been performing up there in the most holy sanctuary, blotting out our sins, Lord. And we ask you, please, Lord, as we join here this evening, Lord, please do not blot out our name out of that book of life, but allow your name to be in that book of life. So, Heavenly Father, we give our life to you. Fully surrender everything, every one of us. Lord, we lift up our dear brother, Hakeem James. We lift up brother Yudi. We lift up brother Bernard. We lift up brother Rick Helder, Richardson, Sister Richardson, Sister Carla, Lord Jesus, Sister Leola, Sister Brenda, brother John. We lift up Sister Barnaby with her family members, her children, her grandchildren. Sister Consinelli, Lord, we lift them up, Lord Jesus, the Lord, brother Elder Brother John and Sister Brenda, when we heard the wonderful news of salvation and what you have done in their life, that they are testifying about the goodness of you and about the present, and the present is you, Lord. We just want to give you thanks, Lord. We lift up our dear Sister Lynn. We lift up Sister Payne. We also lift up our dear Sister Tamiko, as she lift up Sister Elizabeth, Lord, Sister Miriam, Sister Rochelle, Lord Father, and Taiwan, dear Father, and Anthony and Dennis, and also the grandchildren. But Pastor Duby, dear Lord, we lift them up, Sister Rose and her husband, dear Lord. We lift up Sister Stephanie, dear Lord, with her children, Carjan, KJ, Brother Elroy, dear Elder Williams, dear Father, 96, going strong. We ask you for your protection, your love, Lord. Those who lost their loved one, Lord, the funeral they see today, dear Lord, we ask you to comfort them, Lord. We lift up the youth to them, Lord, in the Advent Church, Lord, everyone. You know them, those who are going to college, dear Father, this moment we lift them up, as we know that some of them, Lord, are going through a hard time, Lord Jesus, even with the vaccination, and they decided that they do not want to take it, Lord Jesus, and the mandatory, Lord, everything is happening, but you are in control. We ask you to strengthen them. Now, dear Father, we come to you, Brother Eli, as he lift up his dear beloved mother, he lift up himself, asking you, Pasiana, Lord Anthony, dear Father, and also Javel and Jamel, Lord Jahari, dear Father, we lift them up to you. You know everyone, Lord. Father, we want to give you thanks and praise for that wonderful praise report, Sister Consinelli, Lord, and the help kit that she had brought, Lord, and how she wasn't feeling well. And, Lord, you were the great physician that touched her body, and she is doing much better. Lord, we want to thank you. And also the praise report for Tina in the hospital came down with the COVID. Lord, she and her children. And dear Lord, we thank you for your healing power, your healing touch, Lord. Before we cry out to you, you hear. So now, dear Lord, we want to thank you. Thank you for listening and answering our prayer. And we ask you to bless our dear speaker, Brother Akeem James, Lord, continue to bless him, keep him, guide him, and protect him. And Lord, we know as a young man going out there to blow the trumpet, to cry aloud and spare not, we ask you to strengthen him, Lord Jesus, and help him that he will present the truth, Lord, because you said, beloved, I wish when I heard that my children settle in the truth, Lord, you want the truth to present now to the world. And Father, our dear elder, Lord, and strengthen him, we pray. And also we lift up his mom and also his father and grandmother, Lord. Keep, guide, and protect them. Now, dear Lord, we just want to thank you for hearing and thank you for answering. And if there is any name I fail of asking you, Lord, you know them. Grant us that peace, Lord, and help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, my dear brothers and sisters. I'm asking you at this time to get your notepad and your Bible. And the next voice you will hear is Brother Akeem James. 301-640, your line is open.
All right. Well, glad to be back with you all this Sunday. And as we go over this message, I pray that hopefully you remember it, our last message, but we'll do a little recap. Just so each and every one of us are on the same page, and then we'll move forward. So as we do that, let's just have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds and draw us ever closer to you, and bring us to be the best that we can be in this life. I pray, O God, that we will live for Jesus, that we will live for your honor and glory, that you will give us wisdom and a Christ-like balance in this world, in this time that we are living in. Help us, Lord, to move in such a way that it will draw men to you and women and children and not cause us to be a repulsive people, Father. Help us to truly be peculiar in revealing the love of God. We pray and we ask these things and guide us in our study. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. As we study, friends, last time we mentioned, we looked at the sanctuary. We saw that the overarching purpose of the sanctuary is what? He is to cause men to see that God wants to restore his image within them. And according to the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we realize that Jesus is the express image of his Father. He is the image of God. And so when man was made, he was to look like Christ would if he were to dwell in this world. And because man failed in doing that, in upholding that, I should say, began that way. But as they continued to develop and they were tested, they fell from that high standard to which God had called them. Christ then came into the world 4,000 years later to reveal what God looks like. Inspiration actually tells us in Desire of Ages is that if there was anything that Jesus desired to reveal to man, out of all things, even though his ministry stood upon the foundation of the prophetic truth of the Old Testament, if there was anything that he desired to reveal more than anything else, it was the paternal love of God. This was his great desire. And as a result, friends, this is what we see in the sanctuary. The sanctuary is set up so that man would see the high ideal that God has for them. And the ideal is so high, many perceive the ideal being high as a revelation that God doesn't love them. But no, friends, it is the exact opposite. The reason that the standard is so powerful, the reason that God made man with the potential of infinite development is, friends, because he never wanted there to be a time that we stopped growing, that we stopped developing. Even in eternity, we will continue to grow throughout its ceaseless ages. And friends, that is because God loves us. If he didn't love us, what would have happened is either he would have created robots in us or he would have created us with a limited capacity for development. It is because he loved us that he created us for infinite capacity to develop, to continually grow. As we receive, when Jesus comes, a life that measures with the very life of God, inspiration says. Why would God do that unless he truly loved us? Why would he give us a life that measures with his own life, a life that cannot perish? Why would he give that to us unless he truly cared? So friends, as we look at the sanctuary, this is the overarching purpose. For Jesus to restore in us his very character, which is a revelation, the very character of God, the image of God at oneness, bringing man to the point where he stands at one with God as he was before the fall. And not even just that, as our ages tells us that we will be closer to God than if we had never fallen. So even though sin has come into this world, Jehovah has used even the mess of sin to draw us closer to himself. It is not that he loves sin, it's not that he likes sin, God hates sin, but he works through the situation that we are found in this world, to draw us into a closer relationship with him than if we had not fallen. Friends, that's a mind blower. That blows the mind. But after we saw this, after we saw this powerful truth of what the sanctuary is trying to do, the overarching lesson it's trying to teach us, we also came to the realization the articles of the sanctuary takes us through the process of how God does that. And as we go through each process in each section of the sanctuary, we will see that there are reformatory movements of destiny raised up in each section of the sanctuary in order to protect the articles of each section of the sanctuary and what they symbolize. And so we're going to look at that today. So this is Reformatory Movements of Destiny, Part 3. And so as we look at this now, we've covered already the altar of burnt offering or the altar of sacrifice, where the lamb was sacrificed, and we saw that that is a representation of Calvary. So after the sinner has been made aware that he is a sinner and that by the law he sees the knowledge of sin in his own life, the first thing after that revelation comes that God brings the sinner to is the cross. This is what is symbolized in the altar of burnt offering, the place where the lamb, the fat of the clean animal, was burned up. It was a symbol of how Christ would be consumed by our sins and the wrath of God against sin. But because Jesus became sin, the wrath of God fell upon him. He took upon himself our penalty. And this is what the altar of burnt offering tells us. So right after, so as the sinner comes in, the first thing that he comes in contact with, after a knowledge of his sin, is the cross. Is the cross. Now right after the cross, the next thing that he comes into connection with, as he accepts the sacrifice of Christ, as the sinner accepts the sacrifice of Jesus, he then comes into connection with a call to publicly display that he has accepted that sacrifice. This is what happened, by the way, at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. When his public ministry began, friends, it began with his baptism and him being anointed at that baptism. Now, why was he baptized? It was not because there was any sin in his life that was formally repented of. He was baptized as a witness to us. And so let's check this out. Let's check out this article. This article is called, this is the next article in the courtyard, and it is called the Laver of Washing. The Laver of Washing, where the priest would do a purification ceremony before he entered in to the first compartment of the sanctuary, which is the holy place. Now let's check that out. This is in Exodus chapter 30. This is what it says there. Exodus chapter 30, and we're going to look at verses 17 to 21. Verses 17 to 21. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass. So this is very interesting. So it's made, this is the metal that the articles in the outward compartment of the sanctuary were made of. And let's verify that. Let's go back to the altar of burnt offering. And hold your fingers there in Exodus 30. We're coming back to that. But Exodus chapter 27, verses 1 to 8. Look at what it says here, all right? In verses 1 to 2, 1 and 2, we're just going to read that. This is speaking of the altar of burnt offering. Look at the element or the metal that it was made out of. So then thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, that's like a cube, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be the same. And thou shalt overlay it with what? With brass. Okay? Now this went for everything connected to that altar. You see that in verse 3 as well. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his flesh hooks, and his fire pans. As the vessels thereof, thou shalt, all the vessels thereof, thou shalt make of brass. Outer court, in the outer court, were made of a less valuable metal than the articles inside of the sanctuary. And we'll see that as we go on in our study of the sanctuary. So the articles in the outer compartment, in the courtyard, were made of a metal of lesser value than the articles in the holy place and in the most holy place. It was a symbol that the progression, as we progress through the sanctuary service, all the way into the most holy place, we're getting to a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation, and it's revealed even in the metal and the articles that we cover. So the metal that covered the article and the article itself, the experience that is to be had in each section of the sanctuary. The deeper we go, the more valuable things become. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 30 now, and we're looking at the basin of washing. So this is what it says here, verses 17 to 21. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the wash, and the altar. So between the tabernacle of the congregation, here it is, it says, thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation, that's the entrance to the most holy, that's the entrance to the holy place, and the altar, that's the altar of sacrifice. So it was the altar of sacrifice, and just before you get to the holy place, you have the laver in between the altar and the entrance to the holy place. All right? And thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat, meaning at that place. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. In other words, it was a symbol of purification. Or when they come near the altar to minister the burnt offering made by fire unto the Lord. So there was a purification if they were going into the sanctuary itself. And then it says, or when they come near to the altar to minister the burnt offering made by fire unto the Lord. That's the altar of sacrifice, right? So whether they're officiating at one or the other, in the holy place or the altar of burnt sacrifice, or the altar of sacrifice where there was fire, it was to be a purification. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Now, this is what it states in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 347 and 348. Between the altar and the door of the tabernacle was the laver, which was also of brass, made from the mirrors that had been the free will offering of the woman of Israel, right? At the laver, the priests were to wash their hands and their feet whenever they went into the sacred apartments, or approach the altar to offer a burnt offering unto the Lord, right? So this is what they did. So this was a symbol of purification. Now, it's interesting, in the New Testament, we see, of course, this example with Jesus. Jesus followed the pattern of the priest. And in Titus, we're going to look at something here. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. right. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. All right, so go with me there, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. I'm going to read from verse 4. Or from verse 3. It says here, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." Now look at what he did. "By the washing," how did he save us? "By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost," right? "Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." So what we're seeing here? We're seeing that there is a washing, that there is a cleansing as we receive Jesus Christ. As we receive him, there's a cleansing, yes, and this cleansing is the washing of regeneration. In other words, this cleansing is not just a cleaning out. It brings restoration. It builds up the human being again. Because you remember, what has been marred in the human being? What has been marred is the very image of God. God wants to regenerate the human agent until he reveals in his very character the very character of Jesus Christ. So it is a purification that is also a filling, a purification that also restores men and women and children to what they were originally made to be. And why can it do that? Why can this washing do that? It's because involved in this cleansing is the Holy Spirit. Hence it says, "By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." And this is what baptism, by the way, symbolizes. It's not that the water that we go down into when we're baptized, friends, can do anything for us. That water is a symbol that the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit is already at work in our lives. Once we accept it, what the altar of burnt offering represented, which is the sacrifice of Christ, once we have received that sacrifice, the Holy Spirit begins to do a work of conversion in our hearts. Until that time, we were just being drawn, which is important. Because unless we are drawn, friends, there's no other step involved. Unless we allow our hearts, we do not resist and allow God to draw our hearts to him. God then draws our hearts by the same Holy Spirit, reveals to us the standard of his law, and that by that law we realize that we have failed. But then that same Holy Spirit says to us, "But there's hope. Even though you have failed, there is a sacrifice that has been made on your behalf, the altar of burnt offering." And so as they come before the cross, the hearts of men and women and children are broken. And then as it is broken, now the Holy Spirit that has been drawing them now has full power to work on them. By, of course, it's a developmental process, a growth. That is what sanctification is, growing in holiness. And so the Holy Spirit now begins to take charge. Before, he could only draw. But unless our hearts surrender, God is a gentleman. He is not going to force himself on us. And so he brings us, he draws us, and if we allow our hearts to be broken by him, if we allow him to take our hearts, friends, he will then break it at Calvary's cross. Our lives will then become a living sacrifice. And he will begin doing this work of conversion in us. So by the time we get into that water to be baptized, the work has already begun. That baptism is only a public declaration, purification has already begun. The washing of regeneration by the Holy Spirit to restore in man the image of God has already begun. The process has already taken place. I remember when I first started accepting the truth of Calvary and what it truly means to me, transitioning from a Pentecostal to a non-denominational Pentecostal to a Seventh-day Adventist. I accepted the message, I accepted the prophetic truths, I accepted the sacrifice of Jesus and that I had sinned against the Son of God. And I went to him and confessed my sins, asking him to give me true repentance, a sorrow for sin, and a turning from it. And as this happened, friends, I knew that I had passed. There were evidences, even though I didn't feel anything, there were evidences that I had passed from death to life. So now as that happened, I remember going to my mother and I said, Mom, I want to get baptized. I want to get baptized into the SDA church. And she said, no, that church is a cult. Right? That's what she said at first. And because she was a Seventh-day Adventist at age 16. And then she, at that same age, there were things that happened in the church whereby she, in her own life, where she fell away for like the next 25 years. And so there were bad things that she experienced there. And in certain places, friends, this is why we have to ever be careful that we are balanced and that we are wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Because, friends, people are looking at us. They are looking at whether we are extreme in our views or whether we are Christ-like in our views. And so as she saw this extremism, at least in the place where she was, because people weren't rightly representing the Adventist truths and the Bible truth, she ended up leaving for the next 25 years. And then it came full circle to where I started finding out about the Adventist church. And I accepted these truths, and she said, son, no, you can't get baptized in this movement. It's a cult. So then, when that happened, she said, you know what? So she realized, as the months went by, I was becoming more and more serious about this. So she said, you know what? You're 60 now. If you want, at the age of 18, you could decide what you want to do. But for right now, you can only go to church with your best friend here and there on the Sabbath, because my best friend was the one who was teaching me and showing me these things. And he was going to church on the Bible Sabbath at one of the churches in Maryland, Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so she said, you can only go probably once a month you can go with him, but you cannot be baptized until you're age 18. So I didn't make a fuss about it. I said, okay, you know what, I'm going to continue studying this out, making sure that I have a deeper understanding of it. And by the time I was 18, friends, I was more on fire than I was at 16. And so at that time, I made the decision, and I said, Lord, all right, now I'm 18. I'm going to be baptized. Now, did the work of Christ in my life begin at 18? No. It began when I accepted the messages of salvation at age 16. Christ was drawing me, even in my Pentecostal experience. He is drawing people. God has his faithful in Babylon. Many of his people are there. He is drawing them. Some of them who don't have a deeper understanding of the truths for this time, friends, he's in control of their lives in accordance with the light that they have. And as time goes on, as the surrender becomes deeper, so does the Holy Spirit's influence and power over our lives become deeper. And so as this happened now, when I was baptized, it was only a symbol that the washing of regeneration had already begun to take place. And so this is what the altar of, or what the laver of washing represents. Hence, in this courtyard experience, we see two of the things that Jesus himself did. He was baptized not because he had sinned, but as an example to us that our lives are already being purified. And then he was sacrificed upon the altar of the cross. That's the altar of burnt offering. So we must accept these two things. All right? Now, in this courtyard experience, you remember the courtyard experience, as I just mentioned, were a symbol. The articles courtyard symbolized certain points of Jesus' life. It is therefore true, then, that the very courtyard itself is a representation of Jesus' earthly ministry. The altar of sacrifice represents his sacrifice on the cross. The laver of washing represents the baptism of Christ that took place 3.5 years earlier. And in the same way, we must accept the sacrifice of Jesus. We are brought to the cross. And then after we have accepted that sacrifice, the public declaration that we have accepted it is baptism. So we go through the same process. We see, therefore, that the altar of burnt sacrifice, burnt offering, that's the cross symbolized in that altar, And the laver of washing is, and the courtyard itself is a representation of Jesus' earthly ministry. He was baptized and sacrificed. Now, friends, the reason that this is so powerful is because in that earthly ministry of Jesus were those two articles. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. The altar of burnt offering and what it symbolized, and the laver of washing and what it symbolized, was attacked. Remember, we're talking about reformatory movements of destiny. How was it attacked? How was it attacked in Jesus' earthly ministry? Friends, you remember, when Jesus was baptized, the one who baptized him was none other than John the Baptist. Okay? Now, you remember, there were reformatory movements raised up to protect those articles, and there were also movements, counter-reformatory movements, that rose up to attack those articles. And you've heard those terms before, the Reformation and the Counter-Reformation. The Reformation and the Counter-Reformation. Reformation and Counter-Reformation didn't begin in the Dark Ages. That has ever been. The warfare has ever been taking place between Christ and Satan. All right? And so it was taking place even in the courtyard, friends, even in the courtyard, okay, in the earthly ministry of Christ. Now, we'll start off with the reformatory movements that were raised up to protect the articles, all right? Now, you remember when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, let's go there, actually, in the book of Matthew, Chapter 3, this is what happened. This is some powerful stuff. Matthew chapter 3, and this is what it says here. So Jesus, John, is about to baptize Jesus, but before he baptizes him, just see what happens here. There were people who were attacking John's ministry. Now, remember what John's ministry represented. John was a baptizer. His name or his title is the Baptist, John the Baptist. He was uplifting at that time, before the appearance of the Messiah. He was uplifting, or the beginning of Jesus' 3.5-year ministry, he was uplifting the laver of washing. Because you remember, his ministry was a ministry of baptism to prepare the people to receive the Messiah. It says in chapter 3 and verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was a locust," that is a plant, by the way, "and wild honey." So he's practicing, this is powerful, even in John's time, he's practicing dress reform and health reform. It says in verse 5, "Then went out to him Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees," now look at what happens here. "When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them," because Desire of Ages actually revealed that he knew by the power of the Holy Spirit why they had come there. They didn't come there because their hearts were genuine. They came there because of their animosity against his ministry. In another gospel, they asked him, "By what authority are you doing this?" And so he was telling them, he was showing them that, hey, I don't need your authority to do these things. God has given me this authority. And so it says here, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones," and these stones, by the way, is a symbol of the Gentiles, "is able to raise up of these stones children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. You see that? I baptize you. So this baptism was a form of purification. It was a form of getting the people ready for the appearance of the Messiah and his ministry. Because listen to what he says. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with what? With the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Lord Spirit.
Right? Now look at what he says in verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand, hear this, and he will thoroughly purge, cleansing his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. All right? Now what are we seeing here? We're seeing this reality that, wow, there was a movement that was attacking John's ministry. That's the labor of washing ministry. His ministry was the ministry of baptism. This is why Jesus, when speaking to Nicodemus, what does he tell him? He tells him, Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, when they continue in the conversation, what does Jesus then say? He says to him, Nicodemus, unless a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see that? So when he said, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, what was he saying? Born of water, he's referring to John's ministry. John's ministry, by this time, of course, John was being seriously persecuted and probably imprisoned at this moment. But friends, Jesus pointed to John's ministry as the ministry of present truth for that day. Unless one had accepted John's ministry and the ministry of Christ, which was the ministry of the Holy Ghost, they could not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So this is some serious stuff that we're seeing. Now, John's ministry was a ministry of purification to prepare the people for the first appearing of Jesus, for his 3.5-year ministry. So this is symbolized, and was that attacked? Yes. That labor of washing ministry, the baptism ministry of John the Baptist by the scribes and the Pharisees, this was the counter-reformation in Jesus' day. It was the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees who attacked the ministry of not just John, but also of Jesus himself. So these were the groups, the counter-reformation groups that were attacking the articles. Now, I said articles, plural. Why? Because we have another article in the courtyard. That is the altar of burnt offering. Okay? That's the altar of burnt offering, which represents what? It represents the cross. Now, was that attacked? Friends, that was attacked as well. Because you remember, Jesus throughout his ministry, especially coming to the end of his ministry, continually told the people, especially his disciples, he told us, that I will die and rise on the third day. Now, when he told them this, were they able to receive it? No, they were not. Why were they not able to receive it? Because, friends, the notion of a Messiah coming who would die was out of the question for the Jewish leaders. The idea that the Messiah would die for the sins of the world instead of placing the Jewish nation on a high platform above the Gentiles and dominating the Romans and destroying the Romans and killing out all of Israel's enemies. This is the kind of Messiah that Israel wanted, a military Messiah. They didn't want a Messiah that would die and pay for the sins that they had committed. They didn't even see themselves as sinners as it concerns the leadership, as it concerns the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. These men saw themselves as spotless, even though they were more degraded than the people under them that they condemned. So what was happening was the Counter-Reformation movement that was attacking the notion of a Messiah that would die, that's the cross, and also attacking the ministry of John the Baptist, that's the labor of washing, the baptism ministry. The Counter-Reformation movement that attacked those articles was none other than the scribes, the Pharisees, the elders, and the Sadducees. These groups united together against John's ministry and Jesus' ministry. Now, friends, what were the movements raised up to protect those articles? John the Baptist's ministry was one. As he rose up, as he was raised up, God raised him up just before the first appearing of Christ. He did a work of bringing the people to repentance, baptism, to prepare their hearts for the reception of Jesus Christ. That's the laver of washing ministry. So he protected the laver of washing. That ministry protected what the laver of washing represented, baptism. But friends, Jesus Christ now not only accepted that ministry of John, but he himself and his disciples, they also were called, especially Christ. He rose up not only to protect the altar of burnt offering, but to actually live out the experience of the lamb that was sacrificed upon that altar, if that makes sense. Because what? He was sacrificed on the altar of the cross. So the movements raised up, the reformatory movements raised up to protect the articles in the courtyard was John the Baptist and his disciples and Jesus and his disciples. The Counter-Reformation movement raised up to attack the articles in the courtyard and what they represented was the scribes, Pharisees, elders, and Sadducees. These groups, they attacked what the Old Testament sanctuary courtyard had prophesied. And so, friends, this is the courtyard ministry. We have seen in this first section of the sanctuary, the reformatory movements raised up to protect the altar of burnt offering and the laver, and the counter-reformatory movements that were raised up to attack the altar and the laver and what they represented. As we go through each section of the sanctuary, we will see this repeated again and again all the way to the most holy place. It's going to be crazy when we see some of these things. Some of you probably already know these things, but we're going over these things so that we can have a greater understanding of it. All right? So I pray that this made sense to each and every one of us. We're seeing that these articles not only represent our journey in growing deeper and deeper in our relationship with God until his image is fully restored in us, but they also show us historical realities, what took place in history in Jesus' day and in John's day. So with that, I pray that that made sense, and I pray for all of us that as we have accepted, that we would accept the sacrifice of Christ, that as the Holy Spirit enters into our hearts and takes control of our lives, we may continue each day to allow him to do so, that our lives, we may experience purification, and that if we have not as of yet, we may be baptized by literal water, immersed in that water, not by sprinkling, but by immersion, to symbolize that this work of conversion has already begun in our lives. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that these things made sense. I know that some may be hearing this for the first time. Father, I pray that it made sense to each and every one of us. Help us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and John. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Akin, for that presentation, brothers and sisters. God is so good. God is so great. We'll start our program today with Acts 3:37-38. The chapter that we talked was presenting this evening is repentance, right? So we just want to thank our dear brother, you know, for really break down these articles in the sanctuary and how important it is for us to really study the sanctuary, about the sanctuary. And brothers and sisters, I know that we got a lot of scripture passage, and we are asking you to go back, right? And we know that God wants us to repent from our sin, and he also wants us to be converted. And when we converted, he also wants us to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and also go to share God's word. So I just want to thank my dear brother and elder for that presentation. And brothers and sisters, let us go back and study. We need more to learn more about the sanctuary and also these items in the sanctuary, the labor, you know, the courtyard, you know, and all these, the altar of sacrifice. So brothers and sisters, I just want to give God thanks. So we're going to offer another word of prayer and we'll close. Lord. Find a kind and loving Father which art in heaven. We want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege, dear Lord, that you have given unto us in this study, during this study, Lord. Jesus is a sanctuary message. Father, even though a lot of us are saying that there is no sanctuary above, but we want to thank you that you have demonstrated your sanctuary here on earth, and we have a pattern of the heavenly sanctuary, Lord. Help us, dear Father, that we will study these words, these promises that you have given unto us, these scripture passages, Lord, that we will study and, Lord, can share it with others, Lord. Bless us and keep us, Lord. We ask you to cover dear brother Arkeen. Lord, he gave a testimony about his early life, Lord, from 16. Lord, he wanted us to be baptized, but because, you know, maybe he was too young with his parents. And he also shared that by the grace of God, he was humble, and that you have kept him till 18, Lord, when he come to realize and to know more about you in studying your word. So, Father, we ask you, Lord Jesus, as we cry out to you today, especially our young people, dear Father, this is an example of our dear brother Arkeen, Pastor Arkeen, when while he was young, dear Lord, he accepted your truth. So, Father, this moment, we just want to thank you. Bless each heart on this line and allow us, Lord, that we will look forward, dear Father, to see you and to be obedient to your will. Bless us tonight, and we pray, and let your light shine within us in everything we do. In Jesus' loving name, with thanksgiving, amen. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, thank you all for joining us and also sharing. And we have some wonderful books here that we could read, especially the, you know, we have the Step to Christ, we have the Sanctuary Message, we have the... all these books, let us read them, dear brother and sister, because there is where we get the light. And we remember tomorrow night we will be studying the end of time, Lord, and we are really studying the word. So we ask you to join us tomorrow so that on Elder Richardson 701 line that you will all be there to share and to listen to God's word. Thank you again, my brothers and sisters, for joining. Good night, and have a blessed night.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am.
Redeemed.